Folks, get ready. I know it's the final season, the final iteration of this version of Jumpstart. I recognize that. That's why I'm honored forever for my brother of 32 years for me to be here right now in this space. But I do need you to get ready, because in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit inside of you, you are about to open up your eyes, not just in you, but around you and in your family, in your ministry, in your calling, in your city, in your church. You are about to see what you have never seen before. I need you to get ready. Things are about to flip in your favor. We're about to flip this. The narrative is about to just go. And I know some of you are going, but you know, that's just hype. That's wishful thinking. The world is falling apart. Pastor Sam, we're living in the last days. Aren't you in denial? Don't you know we're living in the last days? Things are going to get worse. You're talking about revival, awakening, and seeing the glory and all that. But we're living in the last days. I know we're living in the last days. I'm fully cognizant of the exhaustive list in Matthew 24 and 2 Timothy chapter 3. I know it. I've read it and I believe it. But there is a last day promise that prompts me to be a Jumpstart 2024. There's one. Ho ho. Are you ready? I still believe it. He never said I might. He never said I'm inclined to. He said in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. All the Holy Ghost people, give God a shout like you have them. How many believe we're about to see an outpouring of the Spirit of God like we have never ever seen before? Is that reality? We have that Spirit, and where that Spirit is present, we have power. Somebody say power. Take out your hand like this. Where that Spirit is present, there is power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. There is freedom. You have freedom. 2 Corinthians 3:17. You have that freedom in the name of Jesus. There is holiness. Galatians 5:16. Be led by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Holiness is a byproduct of the Spirit of God. There is victory. Romans 8:11. We just quoted it. Victory. And there is anointing. 1 John 2:27. I'm prophesying to you now. You and your house and your church are about to exhibit more power. The power of God's about to flow out of you. Power to what? Power over devils. Power over demons. Power over principalities. Powers over the lies of the enemy. Powers over infirmity. Luke 10:19. You're about to exhibit that power. Freedom. Free to preach the word. Free to teach your children biblical values. Free to do the will of the Lord. Fulfill the great commission. Preach the gospel. Preach the word in and out of season. In the name of Jesus, you're about to meet more holiness, not just in your generation, but the next generation. Will not go to hell. Millennials and Generation Z and Alpha will not go to hell. I'm going to declare it. Our children and our children's children and our children's children's children will be the most anointed generations. How many believe our children will do greater things? How many believe our children will walk upon the ruins that we bring down in our generation? Victory and anointing like never before. Oh, are there any questions? Don't settle for distorted deliverables. Remember, open your eyes to God's original design. This is important to understand. Jesus did not just... Come here, Jesus. Jesus, were you taking a photo, Jesus? That was awkward. It was like a social media Jesus. What was that about? Jesus did not just, because if you compare, close your eyes, son, because to this guy in Mark 8, there was a different, like, modus operandi. The common denominator is the spittle. Jesus and the spittle, and they were both blind. But there's a difference. See, to this guy, Jesus did not do the whole mud thing. Do your biblical due diligence, please. To this guy, Jesus came, took him out of the village, and walked him out. And to this guy, Jesus just went like this. Bam! No, he just went, bing. To that guy, Jesus went, oh, he was born blind. So Jesus went, to this guy, why did Jesus, and to this guy, why? This guy was born blind. This guy was not born blind.
And that's the difference. Huh? I'll explain it. In Mark chapter 8, the Bible says, remember when they asked him, well, did it, Jesus asked him, he never asked anybody else, so did it work? Did my anointing work? What I just did it work? And he goes, well, it did, kind of, sort of. I can see, but the people look like, they look like. So if he said that people look like trees, it meant that he has a concept already of both people and. So in his past, he saw both people and trees. Hence, the end of that passage says that his sight was restored. And the word there is restored. Two different people. So this guy was the guy who used to see but lost his sight. This guy never saw. So why did Jesus go to the ground first? So what did God make man out of? I'm sorry. What would the God make man out of? Genesis 2:7. So Jesus said, all right, you were born blind. So to you, I'm not going to, boom. I'm going to go back to the original blueprint. In my original plan for you, you were not born blind. In God's original plan for you, your children and your children's children are not alcoholics. In God's original plan for you, there is no multi-generational curse. In God's original plan for you, there is no... In God's original plan, your three generations don't die from diabetes or heart issues. In God's original plan, you are blessed and highly favored. You are. Is there anybody here in Jumpstart ready to see God's original plan for their entire families? If that's you, lift up your hands. If you're ready to see God's original plan, not just for you, but for your children and your children's children and your children's children's children and God's original plan, you are the head and not the tail. You are blessed and not cursed. You are above and not beneath. I'm preaching to somebody right now. In God's original plan, you are not defined by illness and sickness and infirmity and perpetuity, transferred over via the conduit of mitochondria. No, in God's original plan, He has so many great things for you. With your hands raised. Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And I set you apart. I had a plan for you. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. You know this plan's for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. 1 Corinthians 15:45. You were born according to the motto of the second Adam. You were born again according to the plan of Jesus. Not the consequences of Adam's sin. The Apostle Paul says that. When you're born again, you activate God's original plan for you. Con la mano levantada. God has a plan for you, for your children, for your children's children. He has a plan for your city, for your community. God's original plan, you're not blind, an addict, an alcoholic, broken, full of anxiety. Psalm 138:8, God will fulfill His purpose in my life. His mercy endures forever. He will never forsake the work of His hands. I sense the Lord right here, right now. He was born blind, so Jesus went to the blueprint. You have to give Jesus access to your dirt in order for Him to give you access to His destiny.
Who are we? We are a church. We are a community of Christ followers. We are disciples and disciple makers. Who are we? We are societal architects, cultural reformers. We are atmosphere shifters and atmosphere creators. Who are we? We are worshipers in spirit and in truth. We are the light of the world. We are a city on a hill. We are a chosen generation and a royal priesthood. We are world changers and we are history makers. We are the answer to the problem of relativism and deconstructionism, of chaos and anarchy. Who are we? We are God's children. We are a Christ-centered, Bible-based, spirit-empowered, multi-ethnic, multi-generational community, passionate about the gospel of Christ. We're wired, but we're not weird. We are passionate. We're definitely not complacent. Who are we? We are New Season, fully committed in the name of Jesus to doing nothing less than changing the world.
Thank you.
we don't lean.
We stand.
Lift up your hands. We're going to land this. Stand. I was going to say stand with me. You already are. But you have to give him access to your dirt in order for him to give you access to destiny. That's the great exchange. I sense God. This is for someone here. If you really want to see what you've never seen before, you will never experience that breakthrough while you are obsessed with the people that attempted to break you. The power of forgiveness. The power of just forgiveness. The power of forgiving releases favor. It does. You forgive, favor's activated. I've discovered that. You forgive, you see the favor of God. It's not about where you are in life, it's about who you are in Christ. And when you know who you are in Christ, you will never be held back by where you are in life. Your identity in Christ will bring an end to your captivity in life. Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He said, go, Pastor Choco. He looks, Jesus did all of this, right? The audacity of our holy God. He does this, and like a boss says, go wash yourself. Ni lo llevó. Por lo menos por el disimulo, lo hubiera llevado el mismo, pero no lo llevó. Lo dejó así con eso. Y le dice, go wash yourself. Isn't that wild? In other words, you already have what you need. I need 7 people to start praising like you have what you need. Somebody in Chicago right now should break out in a shout, in a dance, because God says you already have what you need to see what I have promised you. You have what you need. And then Pastor Choco, he does this. He does, the guy went to wash himself. He literally had to make himself go to the pool. The Bible doesn't say anybody helped him. This was a guy who was born blind. Everybody knew. And then he's blinded even more. That's a double blind study. He goes like this. He walks. Thank you for the 3 people that got that scientific joke. But he did walk. This is the part that gets to me. He walked like this. He looked like this. This really happened. A blind man with mud in his eyes walked in public to his miracle.
My God.
If you've never been in this season, this is not for you. But for all the people who have ever looked like this, where you had to walk towards your place of breakthrough, when the haters would hate, when others would say stuff, when you would speak to yourself, when you kept on walking. And the reason you kept on walking is, I know you're never going to understand why I kept on walking, but because you don't know, there was a miracle behind that mess, and I knew that God. Has anybody ever been there? Is there anyone here in this conference who has ever walked with their mess? If you've been there, lift up your hands. If you haven't, si tú eres la cosa más santa en todo el universo, esto es para ti. Porque tú nunca has pecado, nunca has pasado por nada, nunca nada. Tú eres. But if you've ever had to walk with the messes in life, either yours or some thrown on you, or your children and your family, whatever it may be. And why would you walk? You know why we walk? Because we discovered a broken praise is still a praise. Anybody here discover that a wounded worshiper is still a worshiper? I feel a breakthrough. Anybody here discover that a prodigal son is still a son, and a prodigal daughter is still a daughter? He walked with his Christmas. Job 42, verse 5. Before my ears heard, but now my eyes see. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. We walk by faith and not by sight. You've been standing, so let me just really hear. You have your eyes closed. Stretch out your hands for this guy. Because this is the part that got to me. Don't settle for trees. Remember to open your eyes to everything Jesus paid the price for. This guy went through that. This guy, Jesus just went, bam. And Jesus goes like this. Watch de facto. I'm speaking parenthetically, but do your biblical due diligence and substantiate it. He goes, did it work? Why would he do that? I submit to you for your prayerful consideration the following supposition. What if I tell you that Jesus didn't miss it? What if I tell you Jesus did not have a bad day? What if I tell you this was done with complete intentionality? What do you mean, Pastor Sam? Why would Jesus do things twice? And why would it be intentional? To see whether or not he would settle for trees. This guy easily could have done this. Bam! He could have said, listen, can you see? Did it work? Yeah, I'm good. He could have said, I'm good, because at least trees is better than nothing. At least I can see something. At least, you know, the question is, will you settle? You have four kids. Will you settle for two of your current kids serving God, but the other two kids not serving God? Will you settle for half of your physical issues being resolved, but not the other issue? Will you settle? Oh, God is looking for a bunch of people that will say, I won't settle for anything less than everything that Jesus paid the price for. Is there anyone in Chicago in the final jumpstart of this iteration who will not settle for trees? If that's you, tell your neighbor, I will not settle for trees. Tell your other neighbor, I will not settle for trees. I will not settle for trees. I will not, I feel the Lord, I will not settle for trees. I will not settle for an Ishmael when God gave me an Isaac. I will not settle for manna in the desert when there's milk and honey waiting for me in the promised land. I will not settle. All the not settle people, lift up your hands. He had an old framework. Cognitively speaking, he had an old framework. And he was comparing his now to his before. And he stop seeing what God has for you today with the lens of what you went through yesterday. In other words, stop saying, look what the devil did. And start shouting, look what the Lord has done. Lift up your hands. Don't settle for trees. Don't settle for anything less. God, when God gave me this, he impacted me and this, all these messages. I'm the first one that repents, comes to the altar in my own room, in my devotional time, in my Holy Spirit time. And then once I receive it and apply it, then I can deliver it. And God told me, Sam, don't you ever settle for anything less than everything I paid the price for. Don't settle for trees. Don't settle for saying, I can see something. No. Are you seeing everything I promise you, Sam? In you, in your family, in your children, in your children's children, in your church, in every assignment I've given you, in the five stones I've placed in your shepherd's bag, Samuel, are you seeing everything that I promised you? My name is Samuel. It really is Samuel. My mom called me Samuel because God gave her a word about me being a Samuel. I'm a Samuel, and my anointing is to find the Davids of this generation, to support them, to release an anointing upon them, to serve them as they bring down the giants. That's why I'm connected to Pastor Choco and Pastor Elizabeth. They're slaying giants in the name of Jesus. Massive Goliaths are coming down. With your hands raised, what did God pay the price for? What did Jesus die for? Of course, salvation, Romans 10:9, deliverance, 2 Corinthians 3:17, healing, 1 Peter 2:24. eternal life, John 3:16, abundant life, John 10:10, new life, 2 Corinthians 5:17, for you to live a holy, healed, healthy, happy, humble, hungry, honoring life. I'm going to call you out here. Jesus, remember, I see trees. Did Jesus spit again? No. Read it. He did it. He laid his hands again. Stop asking him to do what he already did. He'll confirm it. He'll affirm it. But what he already did is already done. Live in the finished work of Christ. John chapter 19, verse 30. Stop asking Jesus to spit again. Imagine Christian leaders in America who will not settle for trees. Who say, wait a minute, you're telling me this entire city you've given a spiritual authority to see transformation, to see righteousness and justice and truth and love? You're telling me that my entire family, Acts 16:31, my household, all of it stayed? You're telling me signs and wonders and miracles are still legit and happen? That if I believe by faith, Matthew 21:22, you're telling me you'll do that very thing? Yeah. You're telling me if I come in agreement with another brother and sister in Christ, Matthew 18:19, you'll do the very thing in alignment of your word and will? Yeah. This is legit? Yeah. All right. If you're here and you're saying, Pastor Samuel Rodriguez, the Holy Spirit spoke to me here. I will remember never to settle for trees. I want to pray over you. I want to give you this final admonition. When your integrity is greater than your influence, nothing can stop you. When you are driven by anointing rather than ambition, nothing can stop you. When your hunger for righteousness is greater than your fear of criticism, nothing can stop you. And the final one, when your praise speaks louder than your pain, when your praise is louder than your pain, when your praise is louder than your pain, when your praise is louder than your pain, Chicago, nothing can stop you. If you will not settle, give God the final shout of praise here.
This is Pastor Sam Rodriguez. What if I tell you, you and your family are stepping into a season of fresh oil, holy fire, and new wine? Listen carefully. If the enemy has been attacking your mind recently, there's a reason for that. If he's been attacking your health recently, there's a reason for that. If the enemy has been targeting your finances, your relationships, your calling, your purpose, your mantle, there's a reason for that. What if I tell you the very same areas the enemy has been attacking will be the very same areas that God is about to bless and use for his glory? The very areas recently under attack will experience, watch this, fresh oil, holy fire, and new wine, all biblically substantiated. The anointing is the Holy Spirit, 1 John 2:27. God's about to do something new in you, with you, for you, and through you for the glory of his name. David was anointed three different times. You're about to receive a new anointing that will enable you to slay the giants of your generation, to bring back the glory of God into every circumstance in your life, and to give him all of the glory. Fresh oil is coming your way. Fresh oil is coming your way. The oil for your lamp, the oil for your jars, the anointing to be able to show the world that Christ is everything in your life. But not just fresh oil, there's holy fire coming your way. Now you may say, Pastor Sam, I received the word about fresh oil, but I don't want God's fire. Yes, you do. God's fire, Matthew 3:11, Acts 2:3, Hebrews, that fire is not a punitive fire. It is a sanctifying fire. It is a purifying fire. It is a fire that prepares you, a fire that preserves you, and a fire that promotes you. You heard me correctly. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? God will save you from the fire. He will save you in the fire, and he will save you with the fire. That fire is coming your way. This is not a fire that will punish you. It will literally catapult you into the next season. It is a fire where God will remove from inside of you and from around you everything that will serve as a deterrent to the fulfillment of his purpose in your life. Somebody say, holy fire, holy fire. Listen to me carefully. Remember Acts 28? The Apostle Paul, a snake bit him, came out of the brushwood. When that snake hit the fire, it jumped out. And then Paul shook it off and put it back into the fire. I declare there's holy fire in your house, because holy fire means your house, your mind, your relationship going forward is a snake-free zone. Did you hear me? Because of God's holy fire, your mind, body, soul, and spirit, your children and your children's children, your family, your calling, your purpose, your ministry is nothing other than a snake-free zone. And then what else is coming your way? New wine. New wine is a new joy, a new infusion of God's shalom. Amos 9:13 says, I look up, wherever I see wine being poured down coming my way. The sower and the reaper taking over one another, blessings that I can't count. There is new wine coming your way. I wrote this book to capture this prophetic message for you and your family, all biblically substantiated for such a time as this. Fresh oil, holy fire, new wine. Receive this message. I want you to go right now online. Go on Amazon. Purchase this book today with its corresponding study guide. Fresh oil, holy fire, new wine. This prophetic mandate will shift your life forevermore. Fresh oil, holy fire, new wine. If this is what you believe God for you and your family, purchase this book today. Buy it right now. And let's do one thing together with fresh oil, with holy fire, with new wine. Let's go change the world.